From the Reeves Building Studios in downtown Sioux Falls, 50 years serving the region. Make it last. Make it Reeves. I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to our It's Your Agribusiness Show. We just celebrated 3,800 in our first hour. We've started a new one, 3,801 in this hour. Two big events were held on Thursday. We'll be talking about the Hefty Boys in just a second. But Michael Zabel, you kind of crowded in this morning with True Shrimp. You got an announcement. What the heck are you talking about, son?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Yes. Well, exciting days for True Shrimp. You know, we've shared with you, Bill, and with your listeners over the last couple of years that True Shrimp is more than just shrimp. Obviously, we grow a wonderful consumer shrimp. But part of our enterprise, part of our business, is the creation of a medical product called Chitosan. And on the 15th of July, Bill, the True Shrimp Company, True Chitosan, achieved FDA registration, which now means the chitosan that we produce from the shrimp's shell is now available to be sold into the marketplace, into the medical device, pharmaceutical, and dermatology, cosmetology market. So it's a big day for us, the results of years of work, and especially the last year, an intense research and development project to create the chitosan.
All right. You're like me. You got a last name that starts with Z, so you have to jump out there. What are we talking about dollar-wise? What's going to happen?
What's so important about this is that although our name is the True Shrimp Company, our largest source of revenue will be the True Chitosan. Because we grow the shrimp, Bill, under almost total controlled conditions, the chitosan that we make is available for, can be used for medical device and pharmaceutical. Our raw materials, absolutely pristine. So we produce what's called a USP, United States Pharmaceutical Conforming Chitosan, that can be used both inside and outside the body. So significant revenue. Actually, the revenue from chitosan we project to be greater than the revenue from the shrimp itself.
So give me a number. I mean, don't just say it's going to be bigger than. Tell me. You know, well, I'm an old guy. You have to tell me while I'm alive.
Yeah, let's think about it. This chitosan, medical application chitosan, Bill, is so valuable, it's sold by the gram. So we already have customers for our chitosan that are paying $6 a gram or $6,000 a kilogram. And for those who are not metric, that's about $3,000 a pound. So it's a very, very valuable compound. And obviously it complements our premium shrimp as well as our true protein, which is our pet food ingredient. So all three revenue streams for the True Shrimp Company are now in place, and we are in the market and moving toward Madison Bay Harbor.
So Madison Bay Harbor, I had a guy last week said he'd heard that it wasn't going to happen. My guess is with the chitosan announcement, it's going to happen.
It was always going to happen, but the chitosan announcement really solidifies our entire business plan. The shrimp are already sold. We'll easily sell out of the pet food. And we've already sold 25% of the chitosan that will be produced from Madison Bay Harbor. So our investors, the people we are working with, we have a lot of momentum now moving toward, in the first part of next year, a groundbreaking in Madison.
So you need the shrimp for the chitosan. So if you've got the chitosan, you've got shrimp that's available to be sold.
That's right. Yeah, we sell the shrimp, too. I assure you, you and your listeners, that the shrimp tastes better than the chitosan does.
Well, I would think so. Now, there are people that are eating an awful lot of this in the Twin Cities, right?
Yes, our shrimp are available in a premium chain of supermarkets called Kowalski's in the Twin Cities, and they essentially buy all of our consumer shrimp, everything that we can produce for them. So, the people of the Twin Cities, we have a few outlets around here, but they take most of our shrimp today that we produce from Ballatin Bay Reef here in Ballatin.
I had a guy stop me at church Sunday and said, yes, the Madison thing is probably going to happen in 23. Is that right?
It's going to happen in 2023. We'll get it done. Everything's sold, Bill. it's time for us to build it. The shrimp, we got customers waiting for the shrimp, the chitosan, and the pet food ingredient, true protein. So everything's sold, and we're moving quite quickly here toward that as well. We have a very specific path of financing that we're on. We're still obviously looking for equity investment in the company, but we're on the right path to the Madison Bay Harbor.
We're going to be in Redwood County at Minnesota Farm Fest next week. We'll talk to you both days, and if something else that we need to know comes up, tell us Tuesday or Wednesday.
I'll keep you posted. You were first to know here today, sir, about the achieving the FDA registration is a major milestone.
A guy like Zabel and Zortman, who starts with Z, we got to be first sometimes.
Indeed we do. Indeed, Bill. Thank you.
Talk to you next week. Darren Hefty's with us. Did you have $10,000 spend the night?
Well, nobody spent the night, but yeah, we had well over $10,000 for the Ag PhD field day yesterday. It was really phenomenal. When you get a daytime high in the 70s and you have a nice cool morning in the 50s to start, everybody just stuck around all day, and that was really, really nice.
So how many years you've been doing this? Have you had weather that good in recent years? My guess is no.
We've been doing this around 20 years, and as far as I can remember, that's the best weather we've ever had. That was really wonderful.
The people that were there, what did you learn? What did they learn from you?
Well, as expected, we had people from all across the country and Canada and a few other places too. And, you know, when we all get together, it's really fun to hear what's happening with other areas, what they're doing that's being successful, and what's been working the best. And we were talking to some guys yesterday, and some of the things that stuck out to me, that the guys that have got really tough drought situations, we talked to a farmer in Kansas that was talking about his corn just barely made it past knee high and just completely gave up. And that's a tough, tough deal. But we talked to a lot of other guys who, okay, they just haven't had as much rain as they need, but here's what we're doing to survive. And that was really useful. And I saw a lot of farmers taking note of that, of, okay, here's what we can do for stress mitigation. Because we know as farmers, it's not going to be perfect. We're not going to catch a rain every week. We're not going to get hardly any wind all through the summer. There's going to be some pretty windy days and these types of things. And how do you adjust to those things? And that's really what makes farmers successful, is figuring out how to mitigate those stresses and still be profitable on the farm.
So from those people that were there, I know you always pick up some notes. You don't always want to share them with me, but what did you learn?
You know, for me, I guess just the adoption of some of the new technologies and equipment. And when something new comes out, you think, oh, okay, I figured out how to do X, Y, and Z with that new piece of equipment or that new technology. But then there's so many smart, innovative farmers out there that when you talk to them and they say, oh, well, are you doing this yet? And hadn't even thought about that, or hadn't even considered it, or didn't know how to do it. And when you start comparing notes with others, you realize, my goodness, there are a lot of smart farmers out there. And if we just communicate with each other and talk about, hey, I haven't figured this out, can you help me? And, you know, when you figure something out, say, hey, I just figured this out. Do you know how to do this? I'll show you. That's the kind of fun stuff. And I ended up speaking with a couple guys from Texas until well after the field day was over, just about some of the things they're doing in that extreme heat and in those tough soils that really aren't that much different than a lot of ground up in our area in South Dakota. So it's kind of neat to learn what they're doing and how they're being successful. And those kinds of things, I think, make the big difference.
Those people that came and saw your crops, did they see good crops?
They really did. They thought the crops were pretty good. And, you know, understanding we could use some more rain. But for what we've had so far, it looks really good. And, you know, talking to the folks that drove in from the east, they said for the most part, going all the way from Ohio across, they were pretty happy with most of the crops. And a lot of guys were shaking their heads saying, oh, man, Illinois looks fantastic. but, you know, some of the guys coming up from the south through Kansas and Missouri and Nebraska, southern South Dakota, they saw a lot of dry areas there that really could have used some more rain quite a while ago. So I know there's going to be some good crops out there this year, but I also know there's a lot of guys that are struggling. And yeah, when they got north of Sioux Falls and out onto our farm, they said, you know what? For as little rain as you guys have had, it looks really good out here. And that made us feel good.
The people that get to drive equipment, do you have a story about that and maybe why that works so well too?
Well, one thing we did different this year, we actually cut silage. We cut corn silage. And what was kind of interesting is the guy who did the cutting was out cutting alfalfa hay for us on our farm. And unfortunately, the hay got ready right about the same time as field day. And he's like, man, I could go on your alfalfa today, but I know you guys really want us to go on the silage too. So we did some silage cutting, and that was kind of neat because we had a lot of folks talking about that. And you know, it's about a month before most farmers are going to do that here. We planted some really early maturing corn that would have been planted right up by the Canadian border, but we planted it down here, and it was all ready to go for silage. But that was one thing. The other thing I'd say, we had a number of classic tractors there that got a lot of conversation started. And what's fun with farming is we just have such emotional ties to equipment, to our farmland, to our hometowns, those kinds of things. And I know when we were unloading one of those classic tractors, there's a farmer in his 80s just staring there watching it. And he said, man, is there any way I could get on that? And our guy said, yeah, jump on. Here's where we want to have it put. You want to just drive it over there for us? And, oh, man, you couldn't hardly get him off the tractor. He was so happy.
Darren Hefty, a great day. Appreciate all that you got. And thank the good Lord for the weather, too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Bill. And, hey, we're already starting planning for next year. It's Thursday, July 27th, 2023.
I've got it written down. Talk to you soon.
You bet.
The Hefties. What they do. Darren, of course, is heard at 2 o'clock every day on Sirius 147 nationwide. Just imagine the stories he's going to tell about the Dakotas today, his field day, the fact that they had the best weather they've had in a long time. These people that had a chance to drive vehicles and do all the things they did, wow, congratulations to them. Now, what about next week? Jeff Toohey, you with me this morning?
Yeah.
We're going to be over at Redwood County in the Reeves booth, Minnesota Farm Fest. You're looking forward to it, I presume.
We are. We're very excited for this year.
So when we start hearing about tractors and we start hearing about that there are some good crops out there, you guys enjoy visiting with the people that come to this event and also the one over in Mitchell.
Absolutely. These farm shows are my favorite time of year. I grew up on a farm and I love talking to the farm people, and they're just great people and a great way of life.
So, and what kind of questions do you anticipate? Because, you know, we have been to a few of these in the last year, and it's been a question, if you're going to order something, order it now, don't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. Just with supply chains in all markets, if you want to do something, you need to get your name in line and so it can be scheduled and materials ordered, because everything is a long lead time anymore.
For those out there this morning that are saying, tell us about Reeves. What do you guys do? What do you have? Why should we be looking at you?
Sure. Well, Reeves Billings is a division of Component Manufacturing, and we are a custom truss manufacturer. And the great thing about Reeves is we've taken the truss technology and codes and all the engineering that has to go with trusses and apply them to a building. And so all of our buildings are designed and engineered to local codes, to city codes, and the International Building Code, no matter where it goes. And on a farm, they technically don't have to be built to code, but we build everything to code, and all of our buildings are sealed by a professional engineer.
Jeff, if they are not going to be able to go to Redwood County, Minnesota, or to Mitchell, and they have some questions for you guys, how do they reach you?
1-800-658-3572 or reevesbuildings.com.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
All right, we're going to bring this together with the state chamber. David Owen is here. He was in a cave earlier this week. We'll see if he learned anything. Well, we talked about what the Hefties did with 10,000 plus. We know that there is another big event in the western part of the state, and David Owen is with us this morning, South Dakota Chamber. When we start talking about people coming, getting on tractors, they're coming from Texas, they're coming from Pennsylvania, and then we got people coming from all over the country to the Black Hills. We're going to be busy in South Dakota again next week, David.
You know, I really appreciate you bringing me in as the state chamber exec and a city guy on Agribusiness Week. But my mom grew up on a farm, so I spent a week every summer.
Do you know
summer
more about motorcycles?
On the farm. I mean, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. But this is all part of South Dakota's economy. And what struck me listening to True Shrimp and Hefty is the theme that listeners should think about is both of those are interesting and successful because of what they've done with technology. I see businesses all over the state that are doing the kind of work that True Shrimp has done, getting their Kaizen ready. And listeners, please be aware, there's a lot of companies that invest millions in trying to develop things like that, and they don't work. And so the company has to reshift, or some places they go out of business, and so those resources are available. So it's just like I keep hoping computers are a fad and they're going to go away. I'm starting to suspect they won't, but we've seen two examples of people that are innovative, investing in new kind of products and finding success.
You know, the Kaizen that we were talking about, it makes me kind of proud. Being a Texas Aggie,
okay,
that they couldn't figure it out in Texas, that they had Kaizen, which is more valuable, dollar and cents-wise, than the great taste of True Shrimp, and they did it in a little place in Minnesota.
Right. What makes me nervous about that is it sounds like you got to read the label real carefully because they got a human side of this thing and they got a veterinary side of this thing. I want to make sure I'm on the right side of that line.
So as we're going into August, you know, the Sturgis event, there have been a number of events this summer. Businesses themselves, we know that they've gotten some help from the SBA, those that needed it, and the numbers that we're going to talk about in the next half hour are just going to kind of floor you that we did this. But guess what? There are people that said, I like being in business in South Dakota. It's been a little tough, but with a little push, I can stay.
Yeah. South Dakota has a reputation as we sit and listen to the national news talking about maybe a recession is about to hit us. But take heart. South Dakota's usually been one of the last states to get into a recessionary mode and one of the first states to kind of hop out of it. I've never seen this kind of confusion. We've got lowest unemployment we've seen in a long time. Everybody's looking for work. I heard the governor say up at the Heartland meeting earlier this week that we have fewer than 1,000 people on unemployment insurance. And so this economy is really rolling. But you know, we're seeing the Fed raise rates to cool down the housing. We're still living on billions of dollars that the Fed sent through the legislature, and that's being spent on roads and infrastructure and business loans and those types of things. Wages are going up. That's good for people, but a challenge for business. We sense 9% inflation. That complicates it. Now we're heading into a political season that has an interesting ballot measure going on in Sioux Falls and statewide. Recreational marijuana and Medicaid are on the ballot, and those both have business implications.
And earlier this week, we're talking with a guy in Hartford that was opening the first place. You know, it's like, well, this is what we are going to do. Yes, they're going to vote in November. Study. Do what you need to do.
Yep. Life's dynamic. That's why I love what I do. I stand in the seam between business and public policy, and I learn more every day than I'll ever be able to retain. But these are as complicated a set of dynamics with both policy and the marketplace. I'll remind everybody, we've spent a ton of time, and we can talk about this later, worrying about housing going into the legislative session. $200 million got appropriated, and now we're fighting about the $150 million, whether it stays with the Housing Authority or it goes back to GOED or it goes someplace else. That money's not going to be available to help some of the small towns and help places like Sioux Falls try to deliver workforce affordable housing until after next session, I guess.
One of the thermometers, barometers, whatever you want to call a measuring device, is our real estate people that are taking calls from people all over the country that are saying, we want to move to South Dakota, which if you'd have said that in 2007, 2008, they'd have said, what? Why would we come to South Dakota?
Well, most people in the country thought they needed a passport to come to South Dakota. It was kind of an unknown region. So I think the publicity we've had, I think the practical measured approach, you know, every state thinks that they have a unique element to them, and that's fine. But we have, I've talked to some of those people that are here. And what I sense is, rhetoric aside, we're kind of friendly people. And we get to yes. I spent 17 years in the People's Republic of Montana. They'll tie you up.
There is a republic in Montana?
Yeah. Well, on paper. But you'll get involved in a governmental process, and you never get to yes. It's this condition and that condition. In South Dakota, we will find a way. If your first location has too much wetland, we will find a way to get you in a place that you can build. Because we like to get to yes. And I think that attitude is as much a relief to people when they come from out of state as anything.
All right. You represent the South Dakota Chamber. How are the small towns doing?
About the same as they have been. It's a risk of really ticking them off.
Tell the truth.
The ones that are close to urban areas, I think we have now 17 cities that have a population of 5,000 or more. And so some of the small towns around that, you can't call them suburbs because, you know, this is South Dakota.
Yeah, well, if you didn't use the word suburb, what would you insert?
The town over there.
Okay.
The neighbor. You got to be close to an economic area. We're going to have significantly fewer towns 20 years from now, 20 years from then, but we're going to have a growing and dynamic economy, and some of those shifts are going to continue. So I was in a grocery store 15 years ago. I won't mention the town, but you could see a lot of vacant buildings, and I looked at the guy that owned it. And I said, how many people do you need to keep this place running in a town? He goes, oh, about 500. I said, how many people are here? He goes, about 200. And we just stared at each other for 10 seconds. And he looks at me and goes, I know. So,
but guess what? If they come in and you're neighborly and welcome other people, that doesn't hurt.
And what my wife learned leaving the mountains and coming to the plains, as she missed the mountains, she started out kind of couldn't figure out why anybody lived out there. And then she discovered the epiphany as we were driving to see my parents in Rapid City. And she sits up in the car and she goes, it's about home, isn't it? And it's a lot about home in those small towns. So, you know, God love them. Hang on as long as you can. But the truth is, we have areas of economic viability, and they're the long-term future of South Dakota.
David Owen, appreciate you filling in this morning. You actually were taking the slot of the Dairy Queen Miracle Treat. They're out collecting money after
well, this
a great
is
day
a
yesterday.
Poor second choice.
From the Reeves Building Studios in downtown Sioux Falls, 50 years serving the region, make it last and make it Reeves. I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome back to our It's Your Agribusiness Show. Matt Swenson is the owner. He's the partner. He's up-to-the-minute market man for Swenson Commodities, and at 10:34, what do our numbers show?
Well, stock market's up 21 here, 40.95 in the S&P. Dow's up 60. NASDAQ's up 55. Metals, gold's up $11. Silver's up 31 cents today. Bitcoin's trading 300 higher at 24,000 again. Over in the energy, crude's up over $4. Got over 101 in the September contract. Hog market's up $1.47 in August. Cattle prices, feeder 60, 70 lower. Fats up a nickel, down 7. Wheat's down 0.25 cents. Beans are up 32. Corn's up 10. So there you have it on your Friday.
All right, we've closed July up or down from how we started the month.
Well, corn near its bottom. Wheat's definitely got an 8 in front of it, not a 12. Beans rallied. They had a hell of a rally, $2 rally here into the last few days of the month, which recouped most of what it gave up. So beans impressive. Corn still over $6 and a good price. So get it marketed, get it sold if it's looking good on your farm. And yeah, we're going to be dealing with some hot and dry weather next week, so we'll see how that shakes the markets up too.
If people need up to the minute commodities from Swenson Commodities, how do they reach you, Matt?
605-335-5570.
All right, we'll talk to you in August.
All right. Yes, sounds good.
Jamie Wood, SBA of South Dakota. If you haven't noticed, we're turning the calendar after today, and I know that you kind of like to do a little reviewing. Where have we been? Where are we at? Where are we going?
Yes, sir. Hello. It has been a wild ride the last few months. We are pivoting. You know, we're getting into a post-COVID cycle now at SBA, really concentrating on finishing up the different types of lending and grant programs that we offered during the COVID-19 pandemic. There's still a bit of work to do on those, but we are full steam ahead on our traditional programs, and there's been some new that have been added as well. But this was a big week for the agency and for all federal government, actually. The scorecard came out for federal contracting. I talked about it earlier this week when I was on with you, but now we have the actual scores. And so the score is a measurement that the U.S. government uses to make sure that the agencies, the different federal agencies, are adhering to the expectation and the commitment to get at least 23% of all federal contracting out to socially and economically disadvantaged small businesses. So a small business is 500 people or less, typically, unless you are with some side standard a size standard equation where you're maybe in a small manufacturing, but you may have multiple locations and have more than 500. But typically it's 500. Here in South Dakota, where 99% of our businesses are small, so that's just over 90,000 small businesses in South Dakota, most of our folks here have 10 people or less for employees. So we have the smallest of small here in South Dakota. But the good news is that the federal government writ large exceeded that 23%, and they actually did 27.2% of awards. That is $154 billion in federal contracts across the U.S. So the federal government got a nationwide A-plus, basically, for getting this federal contracting money out to small businesses. Here's what it means for South Dakota. I am pleased to report that last year the federal government purchased $495 million, with a M, dollars worth of goods and services from South Dakota small businesses, with $324 million going to small firms. So these were the businesses with less than 500 employees, and the federal contracts definitely contributed to the state's employment and economic success. If you're wondering what percentage that would be, it's about 74% of the actual small business contracts that were awarded in South Dakota went to socially or economically disadvantaged small businesses. Some people ask, what businesses are in those categories considered socially or economically disadvantaged? And the categories include minority-owned businesses, service-disabled, veteran-owned businesses, businesses that are owned by women, businesses that are located in historically underutilized business zones, also known as hub zones, and then we have another category called 8A federal contracting, and that is for minority-owned businesses. It's a program that businesses have to apply for. It's a mentoring program for 9 years, and we have it here in South Dakota, but there's always room to add more. So some of those numbers for South Dakota, again, $495 million total. The disadvantaged business Business Awards were $65 million. Total Women-Owned Small Business Awards, $155 million. Disadvantaged Veteran-Owned Businesses got $12 million. Federal Contracts in South Dakota, Hub Zone Awards were $7.5 million. And then 8A Contract Awards were $965,000. So we're getting a good chunk of the federal contracts here in South Dakota. That's great news. If you're a small business owner and you are interested in increasing your revenue stream by adding federal contracting or state contracting or local government contracting, we have a lot of help here available for you at SBA South Dakota. You can contact us at 605-330-4243. Also recommend that you lean in and contact the South Dakota Procurement Technical Assistance Center, also known as a PTAC. They have several counselors located across the state. You can find them at SD Business Help. SD is South Dakota, sdbusinesshelp.com.
You know, you mentioned earlier in the week that some notes are coming due. What is coming due, and how do people know?
Yeah, so we actually had another big meeting about this nationally this week, too, about the economic injury disaster loan for COVID-19. And SBA is making it a lot easier for the small businesses who took out these loans and the nonprofit organizations and ag producers as well. Because during COVID-19, this disaster loan program for EIDL was open to all the different types of industry. As long as they were legitimate, you know, legal, moral, ethical businesses and nonprofits, they could possibly get one of these economic injury disaster loans. So payments are going to be coming due. You actually can go to a really easy website now SBA just established. It's sba.gov/pay. sba.gov/pay, and that'll help you get to the economic injury disaster loan links where you have to establish an account and set up automatic payments. The agency is also going to be sending out emails. Early on in the process, they had sent out some tangible, you know, payment coupons. They informed us that since there are millions and millions of these across the nation, it's more feasible and faster for the agency to actually send an email out. So please do check your emails. It'll be coming from SBA, and that'll give you all the information you need to get started. Those payments start in October for many people.
You know, it's strange. You and I sit and listen, and you talk, I listen, and all of a sudden, I'll get an email that says, did you talk about this on your radio show with somebody that was tied with the SBA? And all of a sudden, a big organization is being tied to you through our show.
That's right. And we're always here to answer questions. And what I really love about your program, too, is you can listen to it on demand. I do that often, especially when I'm traveling across the state for SBA. I'll put on the Kello AM 1320, It's Your Business, It's Your Agribusiness podcast, and that's how I'll catch up. So good job doing that, keeping us informed. But yeah, there's a lot of folks that contact us about what they hear on your program, and we're definitely here to assist. So do give us a call, 605-330-4243 for all your business needs. Technical assistance, if you're interested in federal contracting, if you're looking for loan capital, you know, capital for your business to get it started or growing, and also for disaster. We're here for that, too, because there are some there's some drought disaster and also some economic injury disaster loans for especially in the nonprofit sector for that May storm that came through earlier this year.
Jeannie Wood, we'll talk to you in August.
All righty. Well, you have a great rest of July.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good weekend.
Uncle Joe next, Downtown Sioux Falls.
You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares, so go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No final place for sure, downtown. Everything's waiting for you.
Uncle Joe Batchelor is with us this morning. I'm seeing Swamp Daddy, Brulé, the Farmer's Market, 5th Annual Nyberg Ace Hot Classic. You got a lot to talk about, son. You got 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll try to make good use of my time here, Bill. Yeah, so this past weekend we had the Hot Classic Nights by Ace Hardware, and it was just a fantastic time downtown. We got a lot more action-packed stuff going on this weekend as well. I did add a few more things to the list, so if I get long-winded, just cut me off. Today at noon, you can go to the Courthouse Museum, and they have their summer concert series in the plaza in the back, and they've got Humbletown playing today, so grab a lunch to go and check out Humbletown at the Old Courthouse Museum at noon today if you're interested. And then this evening, we've got Betty Smith, who the Rolling Stone magazine says is she puts soul back into fashion, and she is from Brooklyn, New York. She kind of takes her background with gospel music and soul and puts together this energetic mix powered by rock and roll. So check Betty Smith out at the Levitt. The lawn opens at 6:30, and you can get food and drink there. They've got a bunch of food trucks, Honey Bunny, the Lunchbox, Finslin Farm, Family Farm Ice Cream is going to be there too. Opening things up at 7 o'clock is Man Seeking Mountain. So check out the Levitt tonight starting at 6:30. And then tomorrow, of course, the farmer's market. It's always a fantastic way to start the day. That goes on just north of Falls Park Drive and starts at 8 o'clock, goes until 1, and it's a great family activity and a great way to stock up for the week with all your produce needs. At 9 a.m. at the Levitt is the Pound Rockout Workout, and it's a good cardio jam session that's put on by the Sioux Falls Parks and Recreation Department. So check that out as well. We have a couple of pub crawls going on Saturday.
What's a pub crawl?
A pub crawl is where it's you know, kind of like a poker run. You go from bar to bar. You try out a different drink. A lot of times there's activities that go along with it. One of them is the B-Squad pub crawl. Now, there is a participation fee that goes to help raise funds for dogs who are in need that need to be adopted. And B-Squad Dog Rescue is just great information. You can go to their website to check out more information. The other pub crawl that we have going on is the Pars and Pubs. That goes from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and that's $30 per person. They encourage you to form a team of four, and it's mini golf at I think it's 9 different pubs downtown. Things will wrap up at Wiley's at 3:30. There are prizes available. It's just it's a good time to get out and about and have a little fun on Saturday afternoon. We have a free showing of The Hobbit at the Wells Fargo Cinedome, too. So got to go to WashingtonPavilion.org, though, to reserve your seat. And those seats are not going to last. So check that out. The big thing happening tomorrow, though, Bill, is Brulee. Brulee is a 5-piece rock ensemble. They're accompanied by an array of traditional Native American instrumentation paired with some stunning steps from the top Native American dance troupe. Again, lawn opens at 6:30. Music starts at 7. And the opening act is Pea Skunk, and it's sure to draw a crowd. Brulee, I think they almost had to shut down. I think they did shut down Phillips Avenue 2 years ago when they played. So get there early, get your spots. A lot of other stuff happening downtown. You mentioned Swamp Daddies. They've got their brunch going on. Starts at 10 to 2. You'll have to register for that as well. You can go to Swamp Daddies' website for that. And just a whole host of other things.
About
30
seconds left. Pick your best.
Okay. Well, yoga before brunch at Dada Gastropub, 10 o'clock. Yoga starts at 11. I would suggest that for Sunday. And if you want to learn more, go to DTSF.com.
Sounds like a bunch of great stuff. And next Friday, we'll talk first Friday of the month. That's always a big time, Joe.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Bill. Have a great weekend.
Same to you. Thank you. Well, John Gaskins is with us, Sioux Falls Canary. I was hoping that Harry Canary would be joining you this morning. I always am attracted to what Harry can share with us, but maybe between you and Harry this morning, you can share a couple of things.
Oh, he's right here with me. You want to just get him on right now?
Yeah. Could you?
Yeah, here you go. Hey, Bill Fartman, good morning. How you doing? It was good to see you at the Birdcage on Saturday. How'd you enjoy yourself?
Well, I love the fact that you finally had beaten that team from Canada and that it was a six-run comeback. That was fabulous.
Well, it happens a lot. No lead is safe at the old Birdcage, Bill. The good news is we have good food as well. What did you eat?
I had a brat. My wife had a hot dog, and we were very happy.
Well, that's good. That's all delicious. We got a lot of good stuff going on this weekend as well. Tomorrow night, it's an all-you-can-eat barbecue from Big Bertha Barbecue, homemade barbecue. We've got ribs, we've got thighs, we've got briskets, we've got cornbread muffins, mac and cheese is a popular item, and we've got coleslaw as well. That's just getting started.
Oh, my goodness. Harry Canary, split personality, walked in the door.
Hey, well, it's not really. I just was driving, and then I got here and decided to come out in.
Well, you didn't grow any hair while you were on the road. What's the deal?
I don't know. I'm just having too much of a good time. Hey, tonight, Bill, this is a good deal. You ever seen the movie Big Lebowski?
Never saw it.
Well, that's okay. It's hilarious. You didn't have to, though. We're calling it Big Lebowski Night. The main character of the Big Lebowski is called the Dude. So we're changing our name to the Sioux Falls Dudes tonight, and we've got special dude jerseys.
Guaranteed win night?
Guaranteed win night, sure.
Yes, why not?
Yes, every year, why not? Well, it's guaranteed fun night, no matter if we win
or
lose.
It's always fun at the old ballpark.
Yes, dudes jerseys, they will be up for auction. If you wear a robe like the Dude did, wear a robe to the game, get a $10 ticket. We've got White Russians, Bach White Russians for you to drink. And we've got a grand prize carpet that'll tie the whole room together. You won't get any of that unless you saw the movie. But the good news is there's kids that love the movie and the Dude no matter what. There's a dude that's on the microphone all night. And they just say, hey, dude, how's it going, dude? That's why it's fun to change our name to the Dudes. And we got fireworks after the game tonight as well.
You know, I will tell you that it's been a while since I've been to the ballpark. The field is amazing. It's a great feel. The scoreboard is amazing. And particularly when you put six or seven runs up on the board, it's even better.
Well, it's a hitter's ballpark, so you're guaranteed a lot of runs. We're a home run hitting team. No lead is safe, as you saw.
And you had seven strikeouts, so that meant people got to bowl.
Free bowling at Eastway. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of things. We got the beer batter, so when one of the opposing batters goes up to bat, and he's announced as the beer batter, if that guy strikes out, then it's going to be half-priced beer, $3 beer for the rest of the half inning for all the fans. And it happened a couple times, and you should see the flocking of people in the concession stand when that happens. So we got fans, you know, two-strike clap going on when the opposing batter has two strikes, the whole stadium's clapping. It's a hoot. You should get out there if you haven't been out there in a while, like Bill did last weekend.
It was great. It was great to do. And how many games left in the season?
We got 19 home games left, so 19 parties. By the way, Sunday, gates open at noon, and you can play catch in the outfield before the game. You can run the bases after the game. And it is Superhero Sunday. Kids 12 and under who wear a superhero costume get it free. So we're going to have a lot of Batmans and Supermans and Captain Americas out there.
And one piece of advice, if you're betting on the musical chair, always bet on the smallest kid to win.
That is correct, yes, if we have the musical chairs. We're going to have some fun games up our sleeve tonight as well. We've got the Bush Push, 10 push-ups, and chug a 16-ounce beer. We've got a lot of fun stuff for the fans of all ages, and we've got a supervised playground and bounce house area. So if you're bringing your kids or your grandkids, they're 7 and under, the Canary staff will watch them while you go get some of our awesome food, maybe a cold beer, and enjoy the game by yourself. So you don't have to keep them at home and get babysitters and all that.
All right.
Come on out. Beautiful weekend at the Birdcage.
John Gaskins, appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
SFCanaries.com. Thank you, Bill.
Alla is back with us this morning. Our tie to Ukraine that we have adopted continues to reach out and speak. And I understand that you were speaking at a news conference this last week, Alla.
Yes, good morning. It was interesting how it all tied in together, you know, a little bit that you do know about me. Obviously, the fact that I'm from Ukraine, I immigrated to the United States to work at a greenhouse that I now manage. And I was sharing just how much labor shortage we're facing in greenhouse, but in all agriculture, but also how the situation in Ukraine is affecting agriculture. Just even one little fact that the price and availability of fertilizer is going to drive our prices of anything connected to farming. So any of your food up at least this year and next year.
You have become quite the spokesperson for Ukraine, and we've enjoyed having you on, even though we wish the events were far different than they are today. Mm-hmm. But you've been able to talk since March. You've been able to share a couple of things. People want to know about your family, though.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I appreciate the most, is people not forgetting that it is very personal for me, that half of my family is here and reunited with me, but another half of them are still in Ukraine. They are safe as of right now, but I can tell you Russia does not stop. They are bombing day and night, and there's lives lost every single day. And the destruction that is happening in Ukraine right now is just unbelievable. So again, I'll ask, do not forget about the war in Ukraine, and keep asking your representatives to do something about it, to keep supporting Ukraine in this fight, and support the peace talks as well.
Your mother and dad, how are they doing?
They are doing okay. I see them enjoying seeing us, me and my sisters together. But I also see just how much health they're losing, being there, worried, and seeing the things they're seeing. And I'm just trying to be very respectful of their decision to stay, but I will never stop trying to get him somewhere safe.
People listening today, if they would like to talk to you, I know that one of the gentlemen that called thought that maybe some of the workers from Ukraine could be put to work right here in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their own ideas, but if they have ideas, you'd like to hear from them.
Absolutely. And I'm very easy to reach. My email is Alla, my first name, A-L-L-A, .ukraine@gmail.com. So you'll remember that. And please reach out. There might be things we haven't thought about, or you might have resources that I haven't been able to reach yet.
Alla, thanks for the information. We'll continue to pray, continue to hope, continue to share you on the air if you want to talk with us.
Thank you.
Kind of is a sobering thing with all that you talk about in business, and then you talk about friends that have come from Ukraine. For now, our time's up. Thank you for yours.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at Kello.